in the lessons that have been done online. I want to just say thanks to David, who came faithfully, David Chenault. He came faithfully each week to record me at my desk, as you saw, and we got those things done. Got to be pretty good at it toward the end, and now all of that part is over. And we want you to know that we are live streaming today, and hopefully that's going to be our profile from here on in. You'll be able to do that. We hope that will help those that are shut-ins who don't get to have sort of the congregational feel, and we hope that that will be a good thing. So any of those that are watching later on, I'm saying hi to all of you that weren't able to actually be here, but we love you and want you to be considered a part of us, and hope that we can continue to encourage you. But in those lessons, there were a couple in there, like Mother's Day, and I think we began with a lesson out of the book of Psalms. The lessons were pretty much directed toward the power and the authority that are found in Jesus Christ. And we all know that Jesus, of course, has all authority. And we know that he is more powerful than anything on this earth, than any of the elements or any things that come our way, diseases or, you know, pandemics, all of these kinds of things. That doesn't mean that we don't take special care during special times like we're doing now. But at the same time, we still remember, at least I hope we do, and hope to remind us that God's always in charge. And sometimes it's easy to lose focus on what really is the most important thing in this life. The lesson today, Pure in Heart, as we sing that great old hymn, taking it from chapter 7 of the book of Mark. You can find it in other places in the gospel, by the way, that which is recorded here. But it records one of those confrontations that Jesus had with the Pharisees of his day. And I don't know how to emphasize to you to take us there to that place, but if you've done any historical studying about Jesus' time, you'll know that the Pharisees were the most popular, I'll put it that way, the greatest or the largest group. They were the most powerful of the group, most influential, we'll put it that way, because of their size. That's one of the reasons why. Among the days of the Jews of Jesus' world. And in those confrontations, there is... Jesus exposes, if you will, some contrast between the Pharisees or the people of the day and himself and his teaching, and he helped to right some wrongs. Now, the scripture for today, Mark chapter 7, verses 14, 15, and 16, is really right in the middle of the context of a story. And I'm not going to read you the whole story because I believe you are familiar with it. But I want to get to the heart of the thing right here, what he has to say to them, and then make a few points about that. We'll make some references along the way. The New American Standard Bible records it like this. He says, after he called the crowd to him, again he began saying to them, listen to me, all of you, and understand that there is nothing outside the man that can defile him if it goes into him. But the things which proceed out of the man, that is what defiles the man. And then he encourages them by saying, if anyone has ears to hear, let them hear. Now some of the newer versions would just begin with saying, listen up. Listen to what I got to say, instead of that ending verse that some versions don't even carry. He that hath an ear, let him hear. And yet here are these great contrasts that are being pointed out in this story. Well, kind of to bring you up to speed, is the Pharisees are accusing them of not doing or following the tradition of the elders. Now, I want to emphasize to you that they're saying that this is the tradition of their elders, the things that have been passed down. They are not, and that's what Jesus is saying, the things that God has had to say. And sometimes it's very easy to be caught up into doing what everybody else does, and thinking that it is things that are supposed to be done. When Jesus is teaching against the Pharisees, you'll see here in this next slide that there are some great contrasts. The Pharisees believed that the outward appearance of things were very important. And so that was why they went around doing those things. Next slide there, Wayne. Thank you. Come on in. One more. So we have this outward appearance. Jesus, on the other hand, emphasizes the inner person, the inner man, the inner individual. Not the outer things, not the things that you see here on the outside, but the things that are on the inside of a person. The Pharisees, they taught it was important what people thought. Do you ever get caught up in that? Come on, of course you do. We all do to some degree. We wonder, what do people think of me? And they were very much involved in this. The idea of what other people think. But Jesus, on the other hand, places his emphasis on what pleases the Heavenly Father. Not what people think, but what God would think. The Pharisees were under the impression that somehow or another that reputation was all important. I don't want you to get the wrong idea here. We don't want to think that we would want to have a bad reputation. But reputation is not necessarily as important as your character. That's what Jesus taught. Jesus said that the person developed character, that would be by following what God has to say, and that was more important than what people thought or appearances seemed to bring about. Reputation, what does that mean? Well, reputation is what people, mankind, what they think of you. It's a good idea for people to think well of you. You want them to, if you want to be a good representative of Christ, of God and His teaching. That's important. But character is what God sees no matter where you are. Even in the darkest moments. Character is who you really are. It isn't just what other people see. And you know what I'm driving at, because you've probably made a special attempt for people to maybe focus on you because of the outward appearance, so they'll think well of you. That doesn't mean that inside things are the way they're supposed to be. You see, now the Pharisees, they tried to prove that Jesus did not respect the law of Moses. They wanted to get that message out to the people who were following him, you see, because he wanted to destroy what reputation he was building up. They were getting massive crowds that were following him. And so they wanted to point out to those that were of the Jews who were following, that he somehow or another could not be from God because he was not doing or following the tradition of the elders. On this particular occasion, he had accused Jesus' disciples of not obeying the tradition of the elders. They were eating with unwashed hands. Now, lest you read that and think, we're just talking about getting the dirt off your hands. That's not what they mean. They were using it as a religious practice of having said, once they'd been in the marketplace or around other people, that they should come and cleanse themselves in a religious way. And therefore, they would then be truly clean. Not only did they wash themselves off, but this became ceremonial. And that now that the rest of the congregation of people, so to speak, especially here in this case, the elders and their tradition, they would think well of them. Even though that wasn't really God's law. And yet their tradition, used to impose upon everybody else, and yet they were accusing them of breaking a law of God, which was not true. So how did Jesus respond? These are in the earlier verses. I don't want to go back and read all of those first few verses there where they're making accusation. But he quotes from Isaiah chapter 29 and at verse 13, and he calls them hypocrites. I hope everybody knows what hypocrites are. They're somebody who appears to be something they're not. It really comes from, I'll say, the thespian area, the actor's area, where someone plays a part. And they play something that they are not actually. And he says, these people, they honor me with their lips, but their hearts... Everybody's watching me, right? This is the heart, isn't it? Not this thing. We all need that. That's what keeps this body going. But when Jesus speaks about heart, he's talking about us. What we think, that's the heart of man. The inside of a person. Their hearts are far from me. Now listen. He says that when the heart is not there, in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. You see, what's most important here, as I've already said to you, is following what God has to say. When the Apostle Paul is writing to his young protege, he says over in 1 Timothy chapter 4, I'm going to read two or three verses to you here from chapter 4, 1 Timothy, beginning at verse 1. He says, the Spirit speaks explicitly, and it says that in latter times some will fall away from the faith, paying attention to deceitful spirits and the doctrines of demons, by means of the hypocrisy of liars seared in their own conscience as with a branding iron. Men who forbid marriage, who advocate abstaining from foods which God has created to be gratefully shared and by those who believe and know the truth. For everything created by God is good, and nothing is to be rejected if it is received with gratitude. Now, I used to tell Rosemary, I said, why don't we just pray over the garbage, the grocery racks when we bring them in? That'll take care of it, right? Well, that's really not the real purpose of that prayer before the meal, is it? You're supposed to say, that's right, Bob. Yes, preach on, Bob, that's right. It's, am I thankful today for what God is providing me? Do I realize this has been provided because God loves me? It's providential care. And so he says, it is sanctified or made good, made holy by the means of the Word of God and prayer. He says, Paul does, in 2 Timothy chapter 4, another great place, to Timothy, I solemnly charge you, in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by His appearing in His kingdom, to preach the Word. Now, Brother Jim, we know what how the emphasis of this is made when we go to sunset, don't we? Because every time the speaker gets up to preach a sermon, what's said by the whole crowd? Preach the Word. The Word of God. Because that's what's most important. And that's what our emphasis is today. The understanding of this. I hope that we'll see that more and more as we go through life. I want to turn back now to the book of Mark. And I want to read to you just a few verses And we'll be winding this down, and let the lesson be yours. I'm going to pick up here where he had left off, having told the crowd that nothing that goes into the mouth of a person defiles him, but what comes out of his heart or out of the person. So at verse 17, he says, when he had left the crowd and he entered the house, his disciples questioned him. This is Mark 7, verse 17. And the disciples began to question him about the parable. And they said to him, he said to them, are you so lacking in understanding also? Do you not understand that whatever goes into the man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach, and is then eliminated. And then in parentheses, the scriptures tells us, thus he declared all foods clean. Now that is a pretty broad statement, because there's lots of things that I would consider not very clean as far as I'm concerned, and I'm not eating it. But that's not a religious thing that I'm putting on anybody else to believe. I'm telling you that God has said that there are no longer any teachings about foods that are not to be eaten. And so, he says, that which proceeds out of the man, that's what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, fornications, thefts, murders, adulteries, deeds of coveting and wickedness, as well as deceit and sensuality and envy and slander and pride and foolishness. All of these evil things proceed from within, and they defile the man or the person. Now let's be clear. Let's be clear about what we're really saying. Our faith, brethren, our faith must be built upon the rock, of course, of Jesus Christ, and upon the faith that we have that is generated by hearing the Word of God. Romans 10, verse 17 tells us that faith cometh by hearing, and that hearing is by the Word of God. Not by what we think, it says, or what someone tells us, it says, but it is based upon what the Bible says, period. What God tells us. So what is it that we should learn from all of that? Well, I want to remind you, first of all, that let's not forget that Jesus is the one who has all authority. He is more powerful than anything that you will ever face here on this earth. He can do whatever He chooses to do in your life. He is powerful enough to see you through any tragedy, any difficulty. It was illustrated in some of those stories that I have told you over the past weeks. You remember how that the man that had palsy and he was let down through the roof of that building because he needed to have his legs up under him. The four friends that brought him there to be healed physically. But when they lowered him into the house, he saw their faith, but what he said was very profound, because he said, your sins are forgiven you. And everybody said, what? Why, who gives him the right or the authority to forgive sins? And the fellows who brought them there, that wasn't why they brought him to Jesus, was it? They brought him there so that he'd be able to get up and walk and be like everybody else. But Jesus was never deterred by the things around him. He knew what was the most important thing. That, my friends, is what we should learn. Jesus eventually said, take up your bed and walk. That's right, he did. He did heal him so he could be whole. That's why they brought him there. And he did that, I'm sure, based upon their faith, because they knew that he could do that. Nonetheless, we need to learn that the things that are most important in life is the sins of mankind and the remedy for that. God is interested in a pure heart, much more interested in a pure heart than an outward display of religious teaching or background. He wants people who are seeking Him. That's what He wants from you. I know it's been hard for us to be away from each other. In fact, we probably all have sort of mentioned or said, it just doesn't seem like church. We're the church, right? But we get confused about that, and that's okay. I'm not beating you up for that. But, you see, God sent Jesus to come and live in us. So He's more interested in a pure heart than He is in an outward display. And we also should learn, because Jesus says, it's possible to be religiously wrong. You may be practicing some religious things, but they may not have any real emphasis spiritually. Washing your hands in some kind of a ceremony to be purified, to be able to eat, was nowhere near as important as it was to be clean-minded, to have good thoughts. And because of that, kind of a scary thought, worship can be in vain. Not even worthwhile. God's not even listening. I hope that we all realize that. You remember over in the book, I think you do, that the early disciples were commanded by another group, the Sadducees, for them not to speak in the name of Jesus. We don't want you, because they didn't believe in the resurrection and they didn't want that preached. And they said, we have straitly commanded you not to do that. They were thrown in prison because they were preaching again the resurrection of Jesus. And you remember what they said, don't you? We must obey God rather than men. God has commanded us to follow His teaching and to follow His word. And that's my message to you today. That we listen to God and that we hear His commandments and we let those things be seen in our lives today. That will make us pure in heart. Help me to be, O God. May I devote my life wholly to Thee. Watch Thou my wayward feet. He wants us to be pure in our hearts. If you're here this morning and we can encourage you to live that way, we want to do so. We always invite you to come and make your wants, your wishes known, how we can help you. We extend to you the invitation.